VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, this very week, President Biden is going to be meeting with Pope Francis. And this is generating great controversy as Mr. Biden is very much an advocate for killing babies in the womb, something which the Catholic Church and the Pope oppose. But there's a lot of buzz about this meeting, but in reality, there should be a greater buzz over how the teachings of Pope Francis contrast the teachings of one whom the Church considers as their first pope, namely that of the Apostle Peter. So today's program is going to answer and address a number of questions. Was Peter really a pope? How do Peter's writings contrast the statements of Pope Francis? Aren't all popes to be infallible? Well, we're going to be breaking down those issues today, and Lord willing, have opportunity for you to call in on the program as well. With us is Mike Gendron. Mike is the founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. I always like giving his full bio just to those who have not known Mike or known his background or ministry. He was a devout Roman Catholic for some, well, over three decades, about 34 years, taught to rely upon the authority of the Church above all else. That's what Catholics were taught. But he began searching the Scriptures, and as he did so, he found that when he searched the Scriptures, what he read contrasted the teachings and the traditions of the Church that had been so much a part of his life. Well, he trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. The Bible is his sole authority in all matters of life. And he is now proclaiming the gospel. He has written a couple of books, Preparing for Eternity and also Contending for the Gospel. He's produced numerous videos, written gospel tracts, all with warnings concerning false teachings versus the truth of the Scriptures. Mike, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, it's always a privilege to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll delve into our overall topic here in just a bit, but comment on this meeting between Pope Francis and President Biden this week. A lot of buzz on this issue.
Well, there really is a lot of buzz, and rightfully so. I'm just reminded of what Press Secretary Jen Psaki said. They will discuss working together on efforts grounded in respect for fundamental human dignity, including the COVID-19 pandemic, tackling the climate crisis, and caring for the poor. Yet, respect for fundamental human dignity of the unborn is not mentioned. And that's just so hypocritical when they can say that they're going to look for ways to help fundamental human dignity but ignore the baby in the womb. So it really is causing a lot of stir. You know, there is a very conservative wing in the Roman Catholic Church, and they are opposing Pope Francis and his unwillingness to forbid Joe Biden from receiving communion because he is going against the Roman Catholic Church on this issue of supporting abortion as well as supporting LGBTQ rights.
You know, many have said that the Pope should really rebuke President Biden for his stand on abortion. And then I came across another story this week, Monday of this week, where Pope Francis just appointed a prominent abortion advocate, Jeffrey Sachs, as an ordinary member of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences. And understand that Mr. Sachs is a population control activist. He's pro-abortion. What are we to do with this? What are we to think of this information?
Well, and I must say that both people that are going to be meeting, Joe Biden and the Pope, are really hypocritical liars. And I don't say that to be offensive. I'm just saying it based on their track record. And what they say and what they do are two entirely different things. And what they're really doing is they're coming together on issues that they can both agree on, and they're ignoring the issues that they are opposed on. It's interesting that the Pope met with Nancy Pelosi just recently.
Yes.
And her position on abortion is the same as Joe Biden's, and yet the Pope did not address that issue with her as well, nor did he encourage the bishops to forbid her from receiving communion. And so it really is a lot of hypocrisy with these two men.
Mike Gindron with us here today, and now to our bigger issue of the day, Mike, and that is that Roman Catholics are really faced with a serious dilemma as it relates to who they're going to believe, who they are to follow, and helping us to understand this, how is a Catholic Pope to be revered? Popes have been in this position for many years. How is a Pope to be revered by the Roman Catholic Church, by the people of the Church?
Well, and I always like to point to the official authority of the Catholic Church, and that is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And it says that the Roman Pontiff enjoys infallibility as supreme pastor and teacher of all the faithful, and he proclaims infallibility whenever he gives a definitive act or doctrine pertaining to faith or morals. But this is the real catch. The definitions that he pronounces must be adhered to with the obedience of faith. And so, as you mentioned in the opening of your program, Roman Catholics have this huge dilemma. Should they trust the person they believe was their first pope, that is the Apostle Peter, or should they trust the current pope? Because what they do is they disagree on major issues of the Christian faith.
So you said they consider the Apostle Peter as their first pope. Was Peter really a pope?
No, and by his own words, he was a fellow elder, and he submitted to Jesus as the head of the church. And the authority there is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 in Peter's epistle. He taught that Jesus was the shepherd and guardian of souls. That was 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. But yet Pope Francis believes he's the vicar of Christ and the head of the church with supreme and universal power, which he exercises unhindered. And that's from paragraph 882 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So the Pope, who is Peter's successor by reason of his office as Vicar of Christ, has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole Church. And this power he exercises unhindered, which means that he's not even concerned with the sovereignty of God, that he can exercise any power unhindered.
Mike, let me also ask you this. Is there any mention anywhere in Scripture of the papacy? Is there any mention of that whatsoever?
No. In fact, the authority structure of the church is mentioned in the book of Acts, but the papacy is never mentioned. In fact, the papacy really didn't come into being until the 4th century when the bishops of the autonomous provinces in the Roman Empire elected the Bishop of Rome to oversee all the other provinces. So that's when you had the first bishop actually gain control over the whole church.
Mike, in any regard, we do know that the Catholic Church reveres, they regard the Apostle Peter as being the first pope. And as such, Peter then is to be considered by them to be infallible. And at the same time, Francis now is pope, and he is to be infallible. And as you point out, we've got a dilemma here. How can two infallible popes contradict each other with their infallible teachings? I mean, we got a problem here.
And beyond that, how can Catholics adhere to two sets of conflicting doctrines? Because they must obey the infallible pope. So which one are they supposed to obey?
Yeah.
And it's important to know that the Apostle Peter was not infallible, and Scripture makes that very clear. In fact, in Matthew 16, verse 23, when Jesus said before he builds his church, he must go to Jerusalem and die for his church, remember the words of Peter, "Lord, Lord, may it never be." And Jesus rebuked him soundly, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of men rather than the things of God." So clearly Christ was not going to build his church on someone like Peter, who he had to say had the mouthpiece of the devil a few verses later. We also see in Galatians 2 that Paul confronted Peter to his face because he wasn't acting in line with the truth of the gospel. And so Peter wasn't infallible, but the words that he penned in his first and second epistles were inspired by God, and therefore they are infallible writings. And so when we contrast the writings of Peter with the writings of Francis, then we want Catholics to believe Peter's writings, which were inspired by God, and not the uninspired words of Francis.
Okay, Mike Gindron with us here today on Crosstalk. Again, folks, he's founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. And, Mike, I think it's important that our listeners can better understand these things that you just said. And we hope there are many Catholics who will really carefully listen to what you are saying right now. I'd like you to give us some specific examples on how the teachings of the Apostle Peter contrast that of Francis. They regard both as being infallible, yet we say there is indeed a dilemma here. There's a discrepancy between their writings, their beliefs, and their practice. So lay it out for us. I'd like you to give some specific examples, and multiple examples, as a matter of fact, on how these teachings contrast with one another.
Yeah, I think maybe the most important difference is how we are born again. Most people know that Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. So it was Peter who taught that we are born again through the living, abiding Word of God. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And I quote, "You have been born again not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring Word of God." And so we need both the Word of God and the Spirit of God to bring forth life. But yet Pope Francis teaches that we are reborn through the ritual of water baptism. And again, I want to quote from the authority of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1213 of their catechism. It states that holy baptism is the gateway to life in the Spirit. Through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons of God. We become members of Christ. Baptism is the sacrament of regeneration through water and the Word. So clearly, there is a major conflict between the words of Francis and the inspired words of Peter on the most important issue of how are we born again.
Mm-hmm. So being born again is one of those areas of contrast. Share some more.
Okay, Peter taught that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. In his message in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we are to be saved." But yet Pope Francis teaches that salvation can be attained apart from Jesus Christ. According to paragraph 841 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place, amongst whom are the Muslims, and together with us they adore the one merciful God. And so clearly Muslims do not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't believe he died on Calvary's cross, but yet Pope Francis says that they are part of God's plan of salvation, being saved apart from Jesus Christ.
It's an amazing contrast. and it doesn't measure up with what Peter was saying. There are only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved, referring to the name of Jesus Christ. That's an important contrast between the two, who are both declared to be infallible. Mike Gendron is with us today, ladies and gentlemen, founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. And we're just seconds away from taking the next break, so we're going to come back with some more of these contrasts following the break. And there's presents a dilemma within Roman Catholicism. Which pope are they going to follow after the Apostle Peter, which they declare to be their first pope, or are they going to follow after Francis, whom they also declare to be infallible? We got a problem. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we're looking at the evolutionary scale, what animals would be considered primitive?
Chris, mammals are thought to be more advanced on the evolutionary scale, although all animals are amazingly well designed. Insects are thought to be rather primitive, but research has shown that even butterflies, as they migrate across the ocean, have some sort of built-in magnetic sense which keeps them on course. They can correct their course even if blown off course by wind. Chris, even insects were created by an amazingly intelligent creator. There's nothing primitive about any form of life. Even single-cell life is complex. If it's living, it's complex. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and our guest today, Mike Gendron, founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. We're discussing today the Catholic dilemma, which pope? We know that Joe Biden's going to be meeting with Francis, Pope Francis, this week, and there's some controversy, and there's been a lot going on in the news, but we're trying to get to some of the bigger issues in all of this, friends, and that is which pope are Catholics to believe? They hold up the Apostle Peter as being the first pope, which Mike already pointed out he was not a pope. But the same token, they revere him as being a pope, and he's to be infallible. Francis, also as pope, is to be infallible. So which one is right? Which one is wrong? What does a Catholic do with this dilemma? We're discussing that, and right now pointing out different points of biblical doctrine versus Roman Catholic teachings that are contrasted as well, namely that of the Apostle Peter. And Mike, I'd like you to pick up where we left off there. You've already pointed out matters such as Peter taught that we were born again through the living, abiding Word of God. Francis does not. He teaches through the ritual of baptism. We talked about also about salvation. But give us some more specific examples, if you would, on how the teachings of the Apostle Peter, whom the Church considers their first pope, contrast that from what we hear from Francis.
Yeah, Jim, probably another very important one right up there with how we are born again is a believer's salvation. How does a person obtain eternal life? And Peter taught that a believer's eternal salvation and inheritance is secured by the power of Almighty God. I refer to his first epistle in chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. He said, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and reserved in heaven for you, you who are protected by the power of God through faith." So a believer's salvation has the assurance that it's held in heaven by the almighty power of God. But yet Pope Francis teaches that salvation is conditional because it is attained by merit and it can be lost by mortal sin. And I want to quote the Catechism, paragraph 2027, "Moved by the Holy Spirit, Pope Francis teaches that we can merit for ourselves and for others all the graces needed to attain eternal life." And so Catholics are taught they must merit their salvation, and so that's why they believe they must do things in order to be saved. And then, even if they do a lot, they still can lose their salvation, because according to paragraph 1035, it teaches all sins are mortal, and they can lose their salvation by committing a mortal sin. And so, in Roman Catholicism, you have venial sins, which are lesser sins, and mortal sins, which causes death, and Catholics would need to be re-justified in order to obtain enough merit to get them to heaven. So clearly, we've got a different view on salvation. The Bible teaches we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone. But the Catholic Church teaches you must merit your salvation, and then you can lose it. But here's a different view from Pope Francis, and this came out recently. He said, "The Lord has redeemed us all of us, with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone, even the atheist." And so here again, he's hypocritical. On one side of his mouth, he says you must merit salvation, but then he says everyone is redeemed by the blood of Christ, even atheists. So another contrast, Peter knew that Jesus was the rock. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 clearly states that, but Pope Francis believes that Peter was the rock. Paragraph 552 of the Catechism, "Christ assures his church, built on Peter, of victory over the powers of death, and Peter will remain the unshakable rock of the church." So you can see all the way through the teachings of Pope Francis, the Apostle Peter is in direct conflict with all these teachings. And, you know, we have to recognize that one is speaking truth and the other is speaking error. One is speaking from the inspired Word of God. The other is speaking from the words of men, which, by the way, the Catholic Church drifted into apostasy and started following doctrines of demons. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But we know that Pope Francis is a false teacher, and Peter warned of false teachers. He said some would come into the church and teach heresies and malign the way of truth. He said that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. There will be false teachers among you. And so by the authority of Scripture, Jim, we can say that Pope Francis is a false teacher, and because he is, he's under a divine curse for adding requirements to the gospel and naming Mary as an intercessor and mediatrix of salvation. And I'm sure your listeners are familiar with Galatians 1, 6 to 9, where Paul said, if anyone preaches another gospel, they are to be anathema, which is a divine condemnation. And Pope Francis teaches a gospel of works and sacraments and obeying the law in order to be saved. And the Bible clearly teaches we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone.
Mike Gendron with us here today. And I noticed you point out one other contrast, and that is about adoration from men.
Yes, it's so true. You know, in Acts chapter 10, verse 26, when Peter entered into Cornelius' house, Cornelius met him and fell at the feet of Peter and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I am just a man. But yet Pope Francis welcomes the adoration of men. And all we have to do is look at the many pictures and videos of people bowing down to him and kissing his ring. Why isn't Pope Francis emulating who he believes was the first pope and telling his worshipers to stand up and worship God alone, just as Peter did?
Yeah, so hence the dilemma, because if Peter is indeed the first pope, as they believe, and Pope and Francis is a pope, they're both to be infallible, the teachings just don't match one another here, Mike.
Well, they really don't. And I just hope Roman Catholics will test every man's teaching under the Scriptures, under the authority of Scripture. That's the principle that we see in Acts 17:11 when Paul was preaching to the synagogues in Berea. He noticed that his listeners were testing his teaching by the authority of Scripture. And so that's what we all need to do, not just Catholics, but Protestants and evangelicals. Every man's teaching must come under the scrutiny of Scripture.
And it's not just with Peter, but the Pope really clashes with other Scriptures too, does he not? I mean, are there not other heresies that come from him as well?
Well, they are, and I can just share some of them. Pope Francis said on March 29th of 2018 in one of his messages, he said, there is no hell and there is no punishment, but the annihilation of that soul. With the death of the body, their journey is finished. So again, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Mm-hmm. But I say this under the authority of Scripture that Pope Francis has the spirit of Antichrist because he goes against the teaching of Christ, daring to say that there is no hell. And then Pope Francis says some very bizarre things. He says, I would be willing to baptize aliens if they came to the Vatican. Who are we to close doors to anyone, even Martians?
Oh, that's rather bizarre.
And then on January of 2016, Pope Francis said many think differently or seek God in different ways, but there is only one certainty. We are all children of God. Again, by the authority of Scripture, we can point to John chapter 8, and Jesus refers to any unbelievers as children of the devil. And so just as Satan blinds people from the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, we can say that Pope Francis, as an unbeliever, is carrying out the will of the father, the devil, by blinding Roman Catholics from the truth of the gospel with the false and fatal gospel. And Jimmy's also blinding Roman Catholics from the glory of Christ because on previous programs, we've talked about how the Roman Catholic Jesus is a counterfeit Christ who returns at the beck and call of a priest to be transubstantiated into a Eucharist to be offered on an altar and worshiped. And we know that that is idolatry. So Pope Francis continues to deceive people from the gospel and also from the glory of Christ.
Mike, can you tell me why you do what you do? I mean, I think of your ministry proclaiming the gospel. You were a former Roman Catholic. Why didn't you just, you know, become a member of another church and just move on? Are you trying to be vindictive with what you're saying here today? Are you just a former disgruntled Roman Catholic? What is your motivation?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, Jim. I have a great love and compassion for Roman Catholics who are where I was. I believed that I was in the one true church and that the church would eventually get me to heaven. It wasn't until I was confronted by the truth when I opened God's Word and saw the differences between the plan of salvation, as the Bible reveals, with the plan of salvation in the Catholic Church. And Jim, I want everyone listening to know that the nature of deception is such that no one knows they are deceived until they are confronted with the truth. And tragically, many precious souls die every day never having been confronted with the truth of God's infallible Word and His gospel. So that's the purpose of our ministry, is to equip the body of Christ to reach out to 1.3 billion Roman Catholics with the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we offer many different resources to help Christians everywhere to be more effective and more faithful witnesses to this huge mission field.
And in just a few moments, we'll be opening our phone lines. But, Mike, you mentioned resources. As a matter of fact, you've got a special resource you're going to offer for our Crosstalk listeners. You've reduced it in order to help get it in the hands of our listeners.
Yes. In fact, we're offering a DVD today. It's called Hard Questions for Good Catholics. And asking questions is a highly effective method of evangelism. It was used by the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can emulate Him by asking hard questions of Roman Catholics. And some of the questions that we encourage Christians to ask Catholics is, why do you continue the work of redemption on an altar when Jesus said it is finished on the cross? And why do you need purgatory when the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sin? So these are challenging questions. We want to challenge Roman Catholics and their unbelief. But along with the DVD, we're also offering a free gospel track, Have You Ever Been Deceived? And again, the nature of deception is people don't know they're deceived until we confront them with the truth. And that's what this gospel track encourages people everywhere, to make sure that your supreme authority for truth is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And these are available to all of your listeners at a reduced price, and they can go to our website, proclaimingthegospel.org, or after the program, they can call us at 817-379-5300, and we'd be glad to encourage them and help them with our resources.
Okay, again, proclaimingthegospel.org, and I see the DVD. They've discounted to just $12. They've got a bonus message on there as well, Last Days for Catholics. But look for the DVD, Hard Questions for Good Catholics, and those who obtain it today, they'll also send a free copy of their gospel tract, Have You Ever Been Deceived? And that's available, again, the website, proclaimingthegospel.org. Click on Store, then click on the video messages on DVD, and you'll find it right there. I'd like to have some extended time here on phones today, so we're opening our phone lines right now where you can ask Mike a question. Maybe you're puzzled about something he said here. Maybe you're battling with some issues and need some help with that as well. Pick up your phone and give us a call, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron is our guest here today, and he is founder and director of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. And if you'd like to receive that DVD, you can go to their website, and the details are there, proclaimingthegospel.org. Click on Store, then click on Video Messages on DVD, and you'll be able to find that there. It's called Hard Questions for Good Catholics. And again, they're sending a complimentary copy of their tract entitled Have You Ever Been Deceived? Phone lines are packed this afternoon. We're going to begin in Deep Valley, West Virginia. We have Lynn calling in. Hi, Lynn. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just want to thank you for your program. I listen to you every day after work. And I just wanted to say that I am also a former Roman Catholic, and my eyes were opened about 11 years ago. And I would like to get that message out to as many Roman Catholics as we can. And, again, I thank you for your program, and I'll listen to you off speak. I mean, I'll hang up and listen to the response.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. And, Mike, this is certainly Lynn's passion to get this message out to many is important.
Well, it sure is, and that's why we have a website so that people like Lynn can point their Roman Catholic friends and loved ones to our website. She can also send out this message. I know that you archive them, and
yes.
She can put them in a newsletter or an email and send them out to her friends.
Within just a couple hours after the program, this program will be posted. You'll see it at crosstalkamerica.com. Take a link, send it out to others, and get it out far and wide. Let's go to Spencer, Tennessee next. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. My question is, do you think Pope Francis, being over 80 years old, will be the false prophet? And if not, do you think who is ever pope at the time of the Great Tribulation will be the false prophet?
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Yes, good question, Ed. We don't know the Lord's timing, but we do know that there will be a false prophet who will appear to be a religious leader. And I do believe it is the office of the papacy, whether or not Pope Francis is alive when the Lord's timing comes to fruition, we don't know. But definitely the most influential office in the whole world as far as a false prophet would be the papacy. And so we know that the false prophet will point the world to an antichrist. Pope Francis is already pointing the world to a false Christ in the Eucharist, so it's not a stretch to have the papacy point the world to Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. He's also pushing this great reset too, Mike. I mean, this new world order, he's been a very strong advocate for it.
A lot of people don't realize that he's also a government leader. Government officials from all over the world come to him because he is the prime minister of the Vatican City, which is a sovereign nation. And so you've got a pope who's both a religious leader and a political leader, I'm sure, fulfilling prophecy. We can only wait and see. But we have to have a sense of urgency and point people to the true Christ before he comes.
Dennis is calling from Indiana. Dennis, you're on the air.
Come to him because...
Hello? Hello, Dennis. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Well, I see a program, and it's been a good while back, several years. And it was the Pope in 1133. He had a vision, he had a dream, and he named all the popes that would follow him to this Pope Francis right here, and he even said how he would get his power. And he said that this was the false prophet.
Yeah, the Reformers thought the papacy was the Antichrist, but I really believe it is the office of the false prophet, and only God knows the future, and only God controls what will take place. He's working out his plan of redemption right now, and we know that when the tribulation begins, there will be a sovereign Lord that is directing everything that takes place under his power and influence.
Dave is calling from Shiner, Texas. Dave, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you guys for another wonderful program. My question was, Mike, that to our loved ones that are still practicing the Catholic faith? How do we direct them to read from not the Catholic Bible?
Well, Dave, that's a good question, but I wouldn't discourage them reading the Catholic Bible because it has the same 66 books that the Evangelical Bible has. And so I would encourage them to read the book of John and underline the word believe, and you will see that it appears 98 times. It shows the destiny of those who believe in Christ and also the destiny of those who do not believe in Christ. And then I would let them read the book of Romans. So I would encourage them to read the Bible. I would also encourage you to ask questions. How do you hope to get to heaven? What are you trusting to get to heaven? And if they give the wrong answer, just say, wouldn't you want to know the truth?
Amen.
From the one who created heaven.
Hmm.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Maybe disagree with what Mike has said here today, or misrepresented something. Now, he's been quoting directly from the Roman Catholic Catechism. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. Pensacola, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, and thank you, Jim. John 19:30 says that, it is finished, John 19:30. That means paid in full. In the Greek, it means paid in full.
The telestai. That's right.
Yes, yeah, so because of that, salvation is as easy as calling upon the name of the Lord, because the blood has been shed, God's blood, and the resurrection of Jesus makes eternal life a free gift. And Romans 10:3, I'll finish with, says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, that's Jesus Christ, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto God. Now, originally that was meant for Israel, but the ignorance there is on the part of Catholics, anybody that's not born from above.
You're so right, Don. Those are great verses to share with our Catholic friends and loved ones, because Paul was praying for the salvation of the Israelites. They did not know the righteousness of God, so they sought to obtain their own righteousness. Roman Catholics don't know the righteousness of God either, that he requires perfection for entrance into heaven. The only passport is the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to everyone who believes on him. And you also quoted John 19:30. That is so important because the Roman Catholic Church continues on an altar what Jesus finished on the cross. And that's why they have to continue to come back every week as a propitiatory sacrifice is offered for their sins committed in the previous week. But believers trust in Christ, who bore all of our sins, past and future sins, and we know we have the assurance of eternal life because he paid the price and he gives us his righteousness.
Thank you, Don, for the call. Anonymous caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick kind of a... I know on your program before you've talked about how in the last days, like when the rapture happens, that a lot of you hear a lot about aliens and, you know, things like that. And it just seems funny to me that the Pope had mentioned that, you know, that he would... you know, welcome them in. I mean, to me, I find that interesting, especially since, you know, you spoke on that before, because there has to be some reason why so many people disappear and stuff. And it just, I don't know, I found that interesting.
Thank you for the comment. It is interesting, that correlation there, Mike.
Yeah, it is, but we have to recognize that Jesus became a man to die for mankind.
Yes.
He became our kinsman redeemer. He did not die for aliens. And so the Pope, once again, if he'd only study his Bible, he'd realize that he is woefully deceived, not only about who Christ is, but also about the gospel.
We have Dean next in Muskego, Wisconsin. Dean, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question. I was raised Roman Catholic, and I'm no longer, but I still have family and friends that are, and I've spoken with them about the need of being born again. Now, I know as Roman Catholics, we're baptized when we're young, our parents dedicate us, you know, we're baptized. And their response to that was, well, when they went through the confirmation, when they were older, they were confirming that they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, so there's no reason to be baptized. And, you know, I didn't have a good answer for that. I was wondering if you could help me out with that.
Great. Thank you, Dean.
Sure, Dean. Former Roman Catholics are the best kind, so praise the Lord for your salvation. I would encourage you to get the DVD that we're offering, Hard Questions for Good Catholics, because that's what you need to do with your family members that are still Catholics. Ask them questions, and then when they don't give the right answer, say, would you like to know the truth from God's Word? Because after all, we can be wrong about a lot of things in this life and still survive, but if we're wrong about eternity, we'll pay for that mistake forever. And so I would encourage you to ask them how they hope to get to heaven, how they hope to have their sins forgiven, how they hope to be reconciled to God. And if it's not, if their answer is not through Jesus Christ alone, then maybe you can open the Bible with them and point them to the truth of Scripture.
So he's seeming to indicate, Mike, that the family is saying, well, we were baptized as infants. We went through these classes, and now I'm confirming, you know, that those things that we were taught in these classes, confirming even that baptism, that you know, that is what gives me salvation.
Yeah. Well, according to Acts chapter 10, verse 47, water baptism is given to those who have already received the Holy Spirit. And so I would share that verse with them, Acts 10:47. But I would also let them know that you receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. And that happens when you repent and believe the gospel. And so once you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't need sacraments. I know I was a 13-year-old Catholic boy, and the bishop slapped me on the cheek, and he said at that moment, I received the Holy Spirit. But reading the Bible, I know that that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. I received the Holy Spirit when I was born again.
Wow. Good questions, Dean, and that DVD would be a help to you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Beth is calling from West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, Mike, I have a question for you because I find this often when I come across people that are Catholic. The first thing is when they find out that you're not Catholic, that you're just a Bible-believing Christian, so to speak, the defense goes up. Because what they've been taught from the get-go is that only Catholics go to heaven. And they're scared. And they don't want to believe anything else because as long as they stick with only Catholics go to heaven, they're just on this tunnel vision of just staying Catholic and, oh, that's nice for you, you know, but this defensive wall comes up and they kind of tune you out. So my question to you is this. How do you break through that scared shield? How should you approach them, your initial approach to them? I know you want to give them the gospel, but, you know, I find that you start talking about, well, how are you going to go to heaven and what's going to, how good is good enough? And, you know, they just kind of shut down.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Beth. Very good questions, Beth. In fact, what you're dealing with here is the power of indoctrination. That is Satan's greatest tool for blinding people from the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ. As you know, from infancy, Roman Catholics are indoctrinated from the time they can think that they belong to the one true church. And so they pretty much dismiss anyone that's not a former Catholic like you, because they would say that you're the Johnny-come-latelys, that your church only started 500 years ago. But in reality, our church started 2,000 years ago, and we've had that stream of Christianity for many, many years.
We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back to more of your calls here. Lines have been very busy this afternoon, so we'll take more of your questions. And folks, we'll also give you the information again how you can obtain the DVD Mike has talked about here today, Hard Questions for Good Catholics. So stay with us. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Israel has jumped in aggressively with the vaccine. They've also jumped in aggressively with green passports. Many believe, as do I, that all of this technology and all of this tracking, and as the Prime Minister of New Zealand has said, the setting up literally of two classes, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, is preparing the way for a global system led by the Antichrist, where no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark.
Please note, I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast. It is laying the foundation for it. And it does indeed appear as though Israel's leading the way. But should we be shocked? No, because they will eventually enter into a peace accord with the Antichrist for 3.5 years. Do not let what the Jews are doing cause you to believe or support the idea of anti-Semitism. Jews sin, Christians sin, Gentiles sin. God will use this sin to bring them to repentance.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Mike Gendron with us here today and talking on the topic, the Catholic dilemma, which pope? And because there's contrast between those that they regard as pope. Is not a pope to be infallible? If so, then how can you have popes that contrast one another and contradict one another and contradict the scriptures? Well, we're addressing those issues. By the way, Mike's DVD, Hard Questions for Good Catholics, he's reduced it. I see it on his website for $12. There's a bonus message under Last Days for Catholics. And to those who also connect with him, he's sending a complimentary copy of his tract then. So for those who get the DVD, Have You Ever Been Deceived? And you can get that at proclaimingthegospel.org. Click on store, then on video messages. You'll find it there, proclaimingthegospel.org. And in just a, before we close, we'll also give you a phone number to his ministry as well that you can call following the interview. Well, Mike, that music came and the break came as Beth was asking her question. You were responding to her with her important question, and I know you had some further response.
Yeah, just the most important is ask your Catholic loved ones and friends, what is your supreme authority for truth? Because that really becomes the most important issue that we face when we're witnessing to them. And that's the first chapter of my book entitled Preparing for Eternity. And you can get a copy of that through VCY's bookstore. But really, that must be settled up front. What is your supreme authority for truth? In the first chapter, I show how the Bible must become every man's supreme authority for truth.
Mike Gendron with us here today. Back to the phone lines. New Lexington, Kentucky. We have Kathy calling. Kathy, you're on the air. Hello, Kathy. Okay, let's try Leslie in Duluth, Minnesota. Leslie, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call. The Catholic Church forces celibacy, but Peter was called the first pope, was married. Forcing people produces sin and in form of homosexuality and lesbianism with priests and nuns. Paul said, marry or burn with lust. My Catholic friend said she was a Roman Catholic, not a Christian. Due to her lack of being born again, I agree. Do you?
Definitely.
Those were actually two things.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
Yes, Leslie. That is a doctrine of the devil, forbidding people to marry. You see that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. And so the Roman Catholic Church practices doctrines of demons. But yes, there are very few born-again Christians in the Roman Catholic Church, and the Spirit of God will eventually move them out. But you're either a Roman Catholic submitting to the authority of Rome and believing its teachings, or you're a born-again Christian submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ and believing his gospel. The two do not mix.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call.
God bless you.
Anne in Sherwood, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I, too, am a former Roman Catholic for 50 years before the scales fell off my eyes when I started reading my Bible for myself. But I just wanted to, and I would have defended my Catholicism to the bitter end until I did that and started reading for myself. But I just have another a contradiction of the Pope and the Word of God is when he speaks about homosexuality a while back and actually saying that it's okay to be homosexual. And it does, and I remember him saying that a while back. I cannot tell you what year it was, but in recent years, he said that. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, the Pope is a hypocrite. And again, I'm not saying that to be unkind. It's just a proven fact. He was actually pictured on the front cover of a gay magazine because of his pro-homosexual stance. And we know, of course, that that goes against God's word. It is a sin. But the Pope speaks out of both sides of his mouth. And whichever way the wind's blowing, that's the way his doctrine falls.
Thank you for the call. By the way, Mike's book, Preparing for Eternity, is available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $17 or more. And that's available by calling our switchboard here at 800-729-9829. Mark is calling from Deerfield, Illinois. You're on the air, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I got a question. I have a copy of the Catholic Bible, and it's got the extra books in it.
Yep.
Is that known as the Apocrypha?
Mm-hmm.
And I've read, like, the Book of Wisdom and the Book of Sirach, and they seem to go right along with the Proverbs, and it seems like a pretty inspired book. Should I avoid those books, or
what's your view on that?
I mean, you can read them for entertainment value, but definitely recognize they are uninspired. Only the 66 books are inspired, and the Catholic Church added the Apocrypha to its canon at the Council of Trent in order to try and give credence to its doctrine of purgatory and indulgences. So I would avoid them. They contain many errors and historical errors as well.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. Tempe, Arizona. Don, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, I guess I'm the thorn in the side here. I want to say first, I appreciate your show. I enjoy it very much, and you give out a lot of great information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to disagree with what I'm hearing today.
Okay.
But I appreciate your show.
Well, tell you what, we're down to 90 seconds, so quickly, what do you disagree with, Don?
Okay. First of all, there's some misquotations here, but they're out of context. But basically, my belief is that the problem the Protestant has is that he looks at what people say, but he doesn't look at what people do. Jesus said to the apostles, "Who hears you, hears me." On Easter night, he said, "He who you forgive is forgiven, who sins you bind or bound." Other kinds of things that he did and the apostles did, and also in history.
I tell you what, Don, as I said when you started, we had 90 seconds left. We're down to 45 now, and I want to give Mike some opportunity to respond to you, and then we'll give you a phone number for you to follow up with Mike as well. Go ahead, Mike, and just in
the... Sure. He was referring to the apostles, and when the last apostle died, then we are to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. There are no successors of the apostles. The apostle Paul was the last successor, so you have to keep the context in mind.
And, Don, I wish we had more time, but our time is just about over. I'm going to give you a number that you can call and speak further with Mike. And if he said something inaccurate, I'd like you to follow up with him directly, because he was quoting from the Roman Catholic Catholicism there from the and we would encourage you to do so here at 817-379-5300. Folks, you can order the DVD through that as well. Mike, thank you for being with us today.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Thank you, Mike. And again, that's quoting right from the Roman Catholic Catechism. You'll find that there. Our time is gone. Thanks so much, friends, for listening. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.